WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keys. At least 11 people are dead so far from those devastating wildfires ripping through Los Angeles. More than 150,000 are under evacuation orders, and people are still dashing to their cars with their families and heading out of town with flames dropping onto their yards and roofs.
We got a couple messages on the phone, and first we had a warning, then we had a mandatory, you need to leave. Our security patrol started honking, saying, guys, you need to go.
People in low-income areas are in dire straits, having fewer resources than some neighborhoods that are much better off. It illustrates the income divide. Reporter Matt Bigler with more.
The burn damage is devastating here along Sunset Boulevard. Hundreds of multi-million dollar homes reduced to ash and rubble. At the edge of the evacuation zone, residents have been begging officers for access to their properties.
My friend needs her medication. She doesn't know whether her home is standing or burned to the ground.
Cynthia Good says some residents risked arrest running past police checkpoints.
When the police turned the other way, he ran. They ran after him, but they couldn't find him.
An overnight curfew is now in place to prevent looting. Matt Bigler for CBS News, Pacific Palisades, California.
Winds are picking up again this afternoon, according to meteorologist Craig Allen.
It turns into a red flag warning for today right through Sunday evening and includes areas to the east of Long Beach, California, down through Irvine, San Clemente, San Bernardino, the mountains, and down through the mountain valleys and the passes and just below the passes, and continues into the desert areas around Palm Springs.
Help is coming in from all over the nation, including Colorado, where Woody Faircloth founded the group Emergency RVs to help those in the fire zone needing emergency housing.
We prioritize first responders, veterans, but we'll have any family who's lost their home in a situation like this, as long as we have RVs and resources to do it.
In Richmond, Virginia, joy after problems at the city's water treatment plant after a storm on Monday. Mayor Danny Avula.
I am really pleased to be able to announce today that the boil water advisory has been lifted.
TikTok users are worried as the Supreme Court prepares to rule on a law that could shut it down. CBS's Jan Crawford.
There's a provision in the law that you can get a 90-day extension. Then the president could grant it. I see a possibility that the court could enter a brief pause that would give TikTok a little more time.
Some 170 million Americans use the popular video app, but lawmakers have raised security concerns over its China-based owner. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. A Wisconsin cranberry farmer is on a mission to restore wetlands by building what he calls mock beaver dams. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
Jim Hoffman says he got his interest in beaver dam analogs after helping a Nordic skiing buddy release an orphaned beaver on his property with a constructed lodge and a stuffed teddy bear for company.
And we dropped the beaver in it. The first thing he did is swim right down the culvert and started swimming around the pond. Unfortunately, that was the last we saw of the beaver named Broadus.
Mock beaver dams, as Hoffman calls them, can pool more than 500,000 gallons of water during floods. He says he hopes to mimic the natural features of beaver dams, including enhancing wildlife habitat, stabilizing eroded stream banks, and improving water quality. Wisconsin, like the rest of the country, has lost about half of its wetlands since the late 1700s, due in part to declining beaver populations. Hoffman explains beavers are regarded as a nuisance animal that regulators believe harm trout. State departments have gone so far as to contract with the federal government to wipe them out.
Conservation trout stamp dollars should not be used to blow up beaver dams. It should be used to encourage water quality projects such as what we're working on right now.
Few mock dam projects like these exist in the state. Wisconsin has strict regulations that make permitting expensive. Hoffman has spent $20,000 in the past year alone for his own permit. He hopes to work with the state's Department of Natural Resources to create a new permit that would allow other Wisconsin homeowners to build their own dams. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. This story was produced with original reporting from Bennett Goldstein for Wisconsin Watch.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Not a bad winter day today with mostly sunny skies, highs in the upper 20s. Increasing clouds tonight with light snow developing late, lows in the mid-20s. Look for light snow to continue on Sunday, total accumulations of 1 to 2 inches. Right now, it's 28 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Why should you care that the North Carolina Supreme Court just stopped the election and seating of a liberal justice to the North Carolina Supreme Court? We discuss next at 2 p.m.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Holy cow. Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I am Mark Becker, your host. Oh, there's so much going on in the world today. If you want to listen to last week's episode, as you should, and listen to this one, have it on repeat, head to civicmedia.com, listen to civicmedia.us, have all of our episodes are on there. We've got a returning guest. It is a distinct honor to welcome our distinguished guest, member of Congress, representing Wisconsin's 2nd District, friend of the show, the Honorable Congressman Mark Pocan. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Mark. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and thank you so much, Congressman Pocan. It's awesome to have you back. DC, there's a lot going on over there right now.
Well, you know, sometimes there's a lot going on, but nothing is actually moving forward. It might be a little bit of that. We're doing some retread bills this week. Nothing to actually address lowering the cost for Americans like was promised in November, but I assume very soon we're going to
get yes, they'll get right on that. Yeah. I want to, before we kind of get into the meat and potatoes of what we're going to talk about, there's two things I want to hit. This week, we mourned the death of 39th President Jimmy Carter, and, you know, just watching everyone get together. And what is it like in D.C. when something like that happens?
Yeah, I mean, you'd hope that this might be one of those unifying things that reminds people of purpose. We'll see. Maybe next week we'll actually, you know, show that today's funeral had a big effect on that. But for many of us, it's just remembering, you know, what presidencies were maybe in the past when things weren't as politicized. That, you know, I just heard a story they were talking about after Camp David, and something that both Jimmy Carter and former President Ford kind of agreed to was talking about. We didn't do anything about the Palestinian state as they were working towards peace in the Middle East. And, you know, we're looking at what we're looking at now that's happened in the Middle East because we didn't really deal with things that they tried to, you know, decades and decades ago. And Jimmy Carter was always an outspoken person about human rights for everyone. And then I think also just, you know, what he's done since he was president, you know, went out there. Never liked the pomp and circumstance and the treating as royalty of the president, kind of the opposite of Donald Trump. He wants every aspect, especially the part that enriches his bank account. Right. But this is someone who, you know, walked the walk and lived in a way that I think everyone respected. So, you know, it just shows. you know, they say you don't want to stand between them and a camera because you will get run over, right? you know, that's sort of the Washington experience, lucky me, to be here. But but you don't see the actual working together as often. I mean, on appropriations, until last session, we might have been one of the oldest vestiges of that still happening up here, where regardless of who was president, we kept our heads down. We don't gravitate to cameras. We just got the work done because we had to. And then last session, Kevin McCarthy kind of broke the Appropriations Committee. And I think this session is probably going to continue to be broken, unfortunately. But
why? That's like one of the most powerful committees in government.
Kevin McCarthy put on some people who don't believe in spending money. Well, the sole purpose of the committee is to spend money, right?
So you
you can have differences in priorities and how much you want to spend, but if you just don't believe government should spend money, maybe you should have a different committee.
That's crazy.
He put some of those folks on in order to become speaker. It's hard to take those folks back off once they're on. And we're kind of broken a little bit. I'm hoping maybe this session will be better than last session, but I think that's more hopes and wishes than reality.
Do you think it will with different? No, not.
No.
Yeah,
I mean, in fact, at the end of the session, there was a deal between the Speaker, Mike Johnson, and Democrats, including Republicans and Democrats in the Senate. They call the four corners.
When
you have leadership from all four. And then all of a sudden, Mike Johnson had to go back on his deal because his more crazy members didn't like it. And if you can't negotiate in good faith, it's really hard to get anything done. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, this week we didn't do anything to reduce the cost of ordinary Americans. Right now I'm hearing next week we're going to talk about, you know, trans girls and sports. And that's not going to help reduce the cost of things for ordinary Americans. I just think they're going to have a hard time doing the stuff they promised.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, no, it's awful. And the other thing I wanted to touch on here with Congressman Mark Pocan, the horrible fire that's happening, fires down in Southern California. When something like that happens, what, as a member of Congress, how does that interact with you? I mean, are you constantly updated and you're on appropriation? So do you have to, you know, give money to help and all of that? What is that like for you when something like that happens?
I think when I saw yesterday afternoon, and this is yesterday afternoon already, that they said $54 to $56 billion worth of damage.
Yeah.
And I think that number is going to go up probably north of 100 by the time this is hopefully all done. And, you know, we provide disaster relief as a federal government for any disaster anywhere in the country, because that's part of what we do when you're, you know, United States of America. But what we're worried about is what will Trump do? Because in his mind, California is a blue state. And, you know, so we're trying to get done what we can right now. But the fact that we even have to think about that,
it's disgusting. Yeah,
it is disgusting, right?
Yeah.
Because it should just be automatic. Any state, you know, we could have tornadoes. They're going to have wildfires, going to be hurricanes down south. But whatever that natural disaster is, we've got to be able to, you know, help people in need. And, you know, fortunately, the loss of life has been pretty minimal, but, you know, clearly a lot of property damage. You look at those pictures and, you know, they're just devastating.
It's horrific. Yeah, my goodness. I think we're all thinking about everybody there because that's just awful. But I want to get to, you know, you were here in September and we were talking about, we talked about doing a full episode on Project 2025. I know you were crazy hopping all over the place and, you know, trying to win this darn thing, which we did for Tammy Baldwin. Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But But what the heck happened at the top? I'm asking everybody that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think a couple things are bubbling up to the surface right now, at least from what I'm hearing. One thing I think almost everyone, regardless of their perspective within the Democratic Party, has agreed is, you know, people just get information in different ways.
Yeah.
And I think what we saw is for undecided voters, 45% didn't get it from traditional media. They get it from a lot of other new media sources. And we have to go far more actively into those new media sources so that we're getting our information out. And, you know, we're starting a podcast by the end of the month. We'll be up and running. And it's going to be called With Liberty and Justice for Some. And we really want to
I'm writing that down.
Yeah. I mean, we want to talk about some of the there are real problems and things that we're not addressing and we're not going to address in this Congress, although we should. We want to give longer format about it. So Medicare Advantage is one.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be our first episode, actually, because, you know, majority of the people are now on a private plan, Medicare Advantage, not Medicare. And most people, when I ask them at town halls, they don't know the difference. They just think they're on Medicare. But there's a huge difference. And it actually costs more than Medicare. It was created to have cost savings, and now it costs more. And, you know, people get denied care. You have to get prior authorization. There's a whole – but 45 minutes will give me enough time to, I think, give a fair scratching, more than a scratching of the surface on the issue. And that's what we want to do that. So that's one thing we've found is we need to use other forms of media. The second thing, Mark, for me is I think, you know, we need to – rechannel our inner FDR. At the core of the Democratic Party are those economic principles that always put working people first, not the wealthiest in this country. And, you know, that means things like the minimum wage being increased. That means things like making sure everyone has access to health care. That means affordable child care, because right now it's hardly affordable if you ask anyone who's, you know, paying out for childcare. And talking about those core economic issues that most people think about. Most people don't think about politics like you and I do, Mark. But, you know, if we go back and channel that inner FDR and talk about those issues, then we're back to the roots of where the Democratic Party is. We've always done action. I mean, Joe Biden did more along those lines in the first 2 years.
Yeah.
But we didn't talk about it enough in the right way. I shouldn't say enough, in the right way. And by the time we got done, democracy is incredibly important. It was certainly at risk, but it's not the same to people and how they look at things as, you know, getting by day to day. And, you know, I think this is our opportunity to remember, you know, that's who we are. That's the work we actually do. But we got to talk about it, because Donald Trump talked about it in a different way, but told lies, got their votes. People who made between 30 and 100,000 vote for Donald Trump, not Democrats, in the presidential election. And now he's going to pass the largest tax break for the wealthiest we've probably ever seen in this country. And, you know, certainly it's been a complete lie that he said from November.
That's crazy. And it's what's wild to me, and I think to you too, is, you know, people that do pay attention to politics, is when we talk about, like, the foundation of democracy being at stake, and that is not enough to get people to, you know, we lost, what was it, 6.2 million people from 2020 to 2024. And the stakes were higher than what it was then. So it's so hard to, you know, rationalize that. So with Liberty and Justice for Some is going to be the podcast. Where can they find it?
On all the standard formats, I was told. So Apple, whatever is out there. I have to admit, I just do whatever's on my phone.
Yes.
So I'm told we hit them all, because I wanted to make sure.
We'll share that too, because I think that's important. Yeah, and we're coming up to a
long format, right? I mean, you know, just talking 45 minutes about something that I have a lot of inside information from being in Washington. You know, my job is two things: taking the views of people of South Central Wisconsin to Washington and representing their values and their voice and being their voice, and then explaining Washington when I get back. And sometimes that's the tougher part of the job. But if I can do this in a different format where people maybe even broader than just my district can hear it, hopefully that helps to serve some of the gap that we have.
We're going to continue the discussion here with Congressman Mark Pocan here on the Rational Revolution. We'll be right back.
A new choice, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
This message is sponsored by WISCaregiver.com.
Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WISCCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WISCCaregiver.com.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I am your host, Mark Becker. We've got all-around good guy, Congressman representing the wonderful 2nd District of Wisconsin, Congressman Mark Pocan. Thank you again. Thank you so much for your time. I know your schedule's insane. So I appreciate you carving out a little bit of time for us, and this is wonderful. We were talking about what happened. I personally believe that I'm a big fan of Kamala Harris. I think she was the right candidate at the right time. I don't think she was afforded the amount of time to make her case to the American people. And now what do we do now?
Yeah. I mean, I think the interesting thing, moving forward is we have no natural leader to the party, right?
Right.
We don't have a president
right.
or a vice president. You're going to be looking at various governors who will try to fill the gap, mm-hmm. senators, probably some members of Congress and others. And I think that's why more people are paying attention to the DNC chair race. I mean,
yes.
I don't remember it ever getting this much attention, but unless we change things a little bit about how we operate, I do think that we've gone astray. I mean, I think that what got me more than anything, Mark, was when I saw we lost the working class. We
yes.
lost people in two categories between 30 and 100,000 that both went for Trump. We got the folks
that's
who were
wild.
The poor. We lost some ground there. And for the first time ever, we picked up people from the wealthiest because they were afraid about democracy and it did matter to them. But that, necessarily shouldn't be our normal place. That's generally where the Republicans get their votes. And I really do think it's that core, what people talk about at their kitchen table. Can they afford their rent or mortgage? Do they have health insurance for their family? Can they take a family vacation that year? Do they have that one luxury, a camper, a snowmobile, a boat, something? Like, that's what people talk about. And those are all core economic issues. So that's why we fight for increasing the minimum wage. We fight for healthcare access. We fight to make childcare more affordable. Those are things that most people, political or not, care about. And that's always been at the core of the Democratic Party, going back to FDR,
yeah.
and certainly even the first 2 years of Joe Biden. But I think it got lost a little by the November election. And you're right, it was hard to define someone brand new. I actually heard about a focus group in Wisconsin, Mark, where they're asking about Harris. Hmm. And someone didn't know that she was the vice president. they knew Project 2025 yeah. was bad, which was pretty amazing, but they didn't know that Harris was the vice president. So, when you're trying to put that campaign together and, it's difficult, but it was much broader. I mean, don't forget also, I think 14 countries or something like that are similar to us. The leaders were thrown out because of COVID,
yeah.
because of the aftermath of COVID,
yeah.
Rising costs when everything right. opened at once. So that was part of the headwinds, but this gives us the opportunity to talk about things in the way that we've always been and we really are.
But I think that's why your voice in particular is so important in Congress and in as we figure out, now what, because, as I'm a business owner too, and you are, and I think having people who do own businesses to say, hey, this is not this is a pro business. That's my world. That's your world.
Yeah.
And so to be able to say these things like minimum wage, like unions, like, worker protection, that freaking matters. And we can do that as business owners too.
We had the administrator for the SBA in my district a couple of years back, and we invited all the different chambers from the area, as well as Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. And what came out of the conversation was there was a survey of members of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which skew more Republican
yep.
generally. But the number one issue they had was the need for childcare
yeah.
to get people back to work and able to work.
Mm-hmm.
So, these issues aren't even partisan issues, right? Yep. Childcare is just something that if you're paying $15,000 or $20,000 a year for your kid to be in childcare. And if you have more than one kid, I mean, that's a lot of money that's going out. It's harder for someone to go back to the workforce. So, you know, we can address those things. I thought that one of the biggest things that didn't happen to Build Back Better, that was a great idea, it was you spent no more than 7% of your income on childcare.
Yeah.
To, if you made up to 250%, I apologize, of the median income in your state, that's a game changer. That would save the average young, you know, family something like $8,000, you know, a year by being able to do something like that. And, you know, we need to work on those kind of issues because they're not.
Money, how can we advance things? Is that gone?
It's certainly on life support, right?
Yeah.
I think that's very true. Like I said, appropriations, I've been spoiled much of my career in Congress because I'm on a committee that functioned in the traditional way until the last session. And again, I think this session might be a bit of a challenge, but you know, that's the one thing we have to do is pass an annual appropriations bill, right? We have to pay our bills as a government. And, you know, you can have differences of opinion, but you can do it, you know, in a way that you're still working together. And you have that a little bit in the armed services area and maybe one or two other areas. But for the most part, you know, if you go on, there's certain committees that literally are blood sport. Going on judiciary or oversight government reform mean that you are suiting up and you are bringing in your best medals and protectives to get out there and do it. But you know, I don't know if that necessarily moves us forward as a nation either. I'm going to fight like hell when I have to, because I don't want anyone to be hurt by bad policies.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have a lot of fighting to do this session. But also, you know, part of the governing experience is, you know, knowing how to compromise and how to get things done. And that's what's more remote.
I was wondering about that. You know, what can you do? I mean, it's a razor thin margin. We got about a minute left in this segment. Then we got one more. What can you do? In a crazy divided.
I think a big part, I'm going to fight like hell against bad things. And then I think we should put good ideas out there to show people that there is a different way forward and there's a different path forward. And, you know, there is a difference between the two parties right now, a big difference. And we can do better than what we're going to do as a Congress. So I think if I offer that positive alternative, as well as fight anything that could hurt people back home, that's going to be the best I can do this session.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, you know, is it 219 to 215? Is that what it is? Or 220?
Yeah.
One down.
Yeah, right now Gates is gone. You're going to have two more Republicans leaving to join the administration. So they can't lose one person to pass a bill. The thing is, they won't come and get our votes until they absolutely have to. So their dysfunction is within their own caucus.
Oh, it's going to be crazy. Are there special elections to replace the two? Or three?
There will be, but it'll probably be, you know, April before we get some folks on board from there. So, and that's when they'll probably do a reconciliation bill, which is a whole other.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's going to be wild. We do have one more segment here with Congressman Mark Pocan. We're going to talk about, you know, what's coming next. What are we going to watch out for? Project 2025, the thing that Trump has absolutely zero connection to. And so we're going to get into that again. Thank you so very much for your time. And we will see you here on the other end of the break.
Great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Winds are set to pick up soon in some L.A. fire zones as people continue to flee the wildfires that have left the city looking like a war zone. But Mayor Karen Bass says,
our first and most important obligation to Angelenos is to get through this crisis.
There are worries in the Palisades area, which has been hard hit, but is ready, says CAL FIRE spokesman Chris Harvey.
Crews positioned throughout this neighborhood. I do know that we have a good water supply. I've seen a lot of engines hooked to hydrants with full hoses. And so I feel like we've got a pretty good presence in this neighborhood, prepared for whatever the weather may bring us, the main thing.
Joy in Richmond, Virginia, where the water is again safe, says Mayor Danny Avila.
We are back. We are back.
There were problems at the city's water plant due to damage after a major snowstorm earlier this week caused a boil order for 5 days. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keys.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks beat the Magic. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks held off the Magic 109-106 in Orlando. Giannis Antetokounmpo came through again, scoring 41 points in what seemed to be an uphill battle. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
A lot of breaks didn't go our way. I thought they stole the jump ball. I thought Giannis got fouled on a drive, and we just kept playing. We just kept playing through it.
The Bucks face the Knicks 2 p.m. tomorrow at Madison Square Garden. College basketball, the Badgers with a blowout win over Minnesota, 80-59. That's the eighth time in a row Wisconsin has beat the Gophers. NFL, the Packers and the Eagles tomorrow in Philly. Matt LaFleur on the joy of being the visiting team at the Eagles-Lincoln Financial Field.
I can't tell you how many times I've gone in there and you're riding in on the bus, and next thing you know, your bus is splattered with eggs. It's a unique experience, but it makes it a lot more fun as well.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Snow tonight, lows in the mid-20s and strong south winds. Gusty winds continue on your Sunday. Snow is likely, could see some freezing rain as temperatures get into the low 30s for a little while. Sunday night, flurries and a low temperature around 10, wind chills around zero.
Right now, it's 28.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed automatic voter registration into law in December of 2020 to begin in January of 2023. Pandemic, technical, and bidding delays ensued, but preparation for voter registration at the DMV and other state agencies has finally begun. The New York State Board of Elections approved a resolution in December 2024 authorizing the state's Department of Motor Vehicles and other state agencies to create voter registration forms and transmit that data to the Board of Elections database. The new system allows citizens to opt out of voter registration, but will otherwise register or change registration information during official transactions. Gotham Gazette reports that both the implementation of automatic voter registration, or AVR, and online voter registration, or OVR, were delayed as technical staff was diverted for pandemic-related IT projects. While the delays are frustrating, getting it right is critical. Early adopter Oregon recently discovered flaws in its very successful AVR system, with evidence that ineligible citizens and non-citizens were accidentally registered during state transactions. The state is in the process of a system-wide audit. Brennan Center for Justice finds AVR has increased voter registrations from 9% to 94% in jurisdictions around the country. We have more on AVR at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Donald Trump says he's going to drill, baby, drill when he gets into office. Matt Randolph, Mr. Global, explains what that means for us, and we go beyond the cheese in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. We got one more quick segment here with our dear friend, distinguished congressman, your friend and mine, Representative Mark Pocan. He's got just a little bit before he hops on a plane back to Madison area. So thank you. Again, thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
So we talked a little bit about Project 2025 when you were here last. And, you know, like I said on the other side of the break, that in typical Trump fashion, he's got zero connection to it. But now he's appointing authors of that wonderful piece of literature to his cabinet. You know what? And I'm going to get on the soapbox for just a second. I have to say that as a former Republican, not even a former Republican, someone that gives a crap about the United States of America, it is so frustrating. One of my most frustrating things is to see Republican hypocrisy in action. Like in here in Wisconsin, like when Robin Voss and the state legislature praised Scott Walker up and down for wielding a strong authority as governor. But then the second Walker lost, they're like, wait, you know, boy, that governorship's got a lot of power. And then they tried to strip the incoming Governor Evers of his power. Donald Trump was critical of executive orders and then in one term outpaced Obama. And one of the things there was I saw the other day and I posted about it, that Trump was so offended by Barack Obama's 113 rounds of golf and then went on to play like 310 of his own in one term. Like, it's just wild. So I guess with the Project 2025, the next 2 years, are what are we in for in terms of, you know, Project 2025 and realistically what can happen? What can he do?
Yeah. So let me take a 30,000 foot first.
Yeah.
I mean, from looking at Trump's last 4 years, about 90% of what he says are never going to happen. That's the, we're going to take over Greenland.
Panama Canal.
Canada's going to be the 51st state and we're all going to swim in the Gulf of America, right? Like that's just Donald Trump talking. But the art of the job is to figure out what 10% though he's really going to put forward.
Yeah.
Because those things. So I think what we know for sure is he's going to do some stuff around immigration and how extensive those deportations are, I think, is something we got to really watch. He's definitely going to do a tax bill where he and Elon Musk and anyone who could afford to go to Mar-a-Lago are going to benefit greatly. But we got to protect everyone else doing that, because don't forget, when you give a tax break, it's also called the tax expenditure.
Yeah.
That's no different than what we spend on housing or healthcare or education. So you are choosing, instead of things that would help the many, to help the few. And again, the vast, vast, vast majority of the last tax break went to the top 1%. I'm guessing the same will happen again. And then, you know, other things like, you know, early on, Mike Johnson said, and he's been a little quiet about it, and I think it's because they're being stealth, that he wants to bring what Wisconsin was a national, I don't want to say leader because it's a bad idea, but school vouchers.
Yes.
Having public dollars go to private schools.
That's horrible, by the way.
And taking it away from public schools. And that's something I think that we're going to have to watch for. So it's really the art of figuring out what they really are going to try to accomplish. It's a little trickier now that we have a co-presidency with Elon Musk. His financial interests are different,
yes,
right, than Donald Trump's. But
yes,
that's what I've got to figure out for the next few years.
He talked about eliminating the Department of Education. Can he do that?
They could try by legislation, and don't forget now they have the House and the Senate. Now, the filibuster rules still apply unless the Senate changes the rules, so then they could do more things. I think that's probably a bit more bluff, because don't forget, if they can only give up one or two votes in the House to do anything, you may have people who are rational on some of these issues. And the difference, though, is right now they're threatening to primary people.
Yes, so, right.
You know, as long as he has that, I guess, I don't know if you call it a honeymoon or what period that is, because I don't know if it's based on love, it's more based on fear. But as long as he has that, he could probably get a few things done. But whether or not that's a priority, or again, that's like Greenland, we don't know yet. And that's part of what we got to figure out.
And we're talking with Congressman Mark Pocan here. What Project 2025, what part do you think, like what are we in store for with that?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think, more about it than just about anybody. Seriously.
Yeah. No, I think there's lots of parts. And like you said, a lot of the folks who are authors are now in the administration. So either you're a billionaire, a Project 2025 author, or someone who Donald Trump saw on TV when he was having some In-N-Out burgers and decided to, you know, you're the one for him. And so a lot of that, we do have to watch where they move forward. I think on the federal workforce, if they try to take, and I think they will try to do this, some of the civil service positions and make them political appointments so they can force their ideology in areas that hasn't been forced before. That would be of a lot of concern. Yet it's also not something that most people see affecting them directly. That's why I think they may try to do it, but we have to realize that if you start making things like the Small Business Administration and making loans political, we've got a real problem, right? So it does matter who's in the, you want civil servants that no matter who's president, they're doing the job that they're supposed to, not doing it based on someone's politics. So I think that's something I'm really concerned about. I think environmentally, we should be concerned. I think they want to roll back some of the fuel standards. They want to roll back some of the funds we put out there for the Inflation Reduction Act. That could take us backwards, back to relying more on fossil fuels. And again, anything that, that Elon Musk has invested in, I mean, you know, just in that first, in that, that agreement we had with Mike Johnson that blew up at the end of last year, one of the provisions that left was one that would have affected Elon Musk and his work in China. He's, he does a lot of work in China, and you know, he alone benefited from that. So, you know, you just got to think like a grifter and think what they would do, and kind of really focus on those issues.
You talk about vouchers and all of that, and Department of Education, and, you know, our dear Tony Weed said, I think it was yesterday, that the funding for schools should stay local. What, I mean, how, talk about that. I mean, that's a horrible idea. Vouchers are terrible. A dear friend of mine is the president of the Green Bay Public Schools school board. And, you know, the, seeing how their budget is just being decimated by these vouchers, what, you know, what can we do about that?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is you don't have accountability, right? When you have that, because the money is going away from public schools where you do have accountability and you do elect school boards and you do have a say in how they're run, to private schools where you don't. And, you know, they're not going to take certain kids and they're going to leave those for public schools. And you're going to leave some of the more costly aspects of education with public schools, and they're going to cherry pick for what they want in the private schools. But also, you don't have much of the accountability we really need to. And so far, there have not been a real bank of studies that show people do better in these schools. So it's literally just taking public tax dollars and giving it to private entities, which is not in the public good. And I think that's where we really got to focus. But I think they're going to try to find ways to make what Wisconsin has done in this area go national. A number of states already have this, but a lot don't. And I think we have to make sure there's real standards. Don't forget, when we started that experiment, and I still call it that, in Wisconsin, we had no accountability for money that went to private schools. We had a guy who said he could read a book by putting his hand on it, receiving money for educating people. You had people putting money into Cadillacs for their school rather than into education. And you will see all kinds of things like that happen if we do this at the federal level.
We talk a lot about redistricting, you know, and all that. We did that in Wisconsin. I want to kind of see what is Wisconsin going to look like in a couple of years. We have a really important Supreme Court race. And one of the things that they're making the race about is redistricting the congressional districts. We have, you know, it's a 50-50 clearly with Tammy Baldwin and Donald Trump proving us that. But in our congressional, we have two Dems and six Republicans. That doesn't add up.
No, it doesn't. It's called that's math even from pre-fourth grade, right?
Right.
We know. And but they're going to wisely pretend it's an issue in order to try to make candidates say, oh, I will never do anything like that. When in reality, we're gerrymandered at the federal level, just like we were at the state level. And, you know, they've packed. I got 70% in the last election. I would like to think it's because of my legislating. I think it has more to do with demographics. And the same is true in Gwen Moore's district. So they packed a couple districts and gerrymandered where, you know, the 3rd Congressional District and the 1st Congressional District are probably two in particular. The 8th is another where, you know, we used to have Democrats and Republicans representing. Also the 7th. I mean, remember Dave Obie used to be from there.
That's right.
But it probably is going to take a court action as long as we have a Republican majority in the legislature. So, you know, I personally hope that they're challenged for all the right reasons, but I could see them trying to, you know, use a little jujitsu on this and make people think something the opposite, make it an issue in the campaign only to make sure they can preserve a congressional majority nationally by keeping Wisconsin gerrymandered.
Yeah, it would be nice to see, you know, and here you're talking about the 8th Congressional District. I got to talk to you about that offline, by the way. And Rebecca Cook was so darn close.
The third, yeah.
You know, oh my goodness. And she was, oh, that she did a hell of a job. But, you know, aside from fighting Trump, what are your plans for the next term? You know, you got one of the most powerful committees in Washington, and how do you get what you want, you know, forward?
Yeah, I mean, so again, I think a lot of it is fighting the bad stuff, and we're ready to do that, and I'm ready to do that. But also putting the ideas forward that what is the plan for the future? Like, you know, we're right now putting a package of half a dozen bills together that explain what Medicare Advantage is to everyone. And I come back to this issue a lot because, quite honestly, a lot of seniors are getting ripped off. This is twice as profitable as normal health insurance for insurance companies, and yet they'll deny care for seniors who need it. Well, if you're a senior and you need care that you and your doctor have decided, and you have to wait 6 or 9 months because you've been denied by your insurance company, you appeal it. Get this, 85% of the appeals on Medicare Advantage are overturned, which means they're just in order to save some nickels and dimes and costing you your life.
That's
when you are in that 6 or 9 months. If you have cancer, think of what 6 or 9 months could mean and not getting the care you need. So we're going to try to do everything we can to expose programs like that and a lot of other issues. So again, I've got a forward agenda. I've got to fight the bad stuff. And I just got to not go crazy in the process of doing those two.
If there is someone that's listening that is potentially in that situation, what can they do? Is there resources that they can go to look up? Like, because I mean, that's a horrible situation to be in, you know, like you're facing the big bad dog and there's, what do you do?
Yeah. So Social Security Works is one of the groups I know that does a really good job on this. Alex Lawson is the head of that. But, you know, people should just know that only Medicare is Medicare, right? Medicare Advantage, some very, very smart and I'm guessing wealthy lobbyists came up with this idea in order to try to save money on Medicare. They came up with this private insurance alternative and they're allowed to use Medicare in their name. We don't allow that with any other federal entity. You can't be the United States Postal Service and mail and package delivery, right? You can't use that name anywhere else. But they're called Medicare Advantage, which already is confusing.
Right.
And what happens is they'll often offer you something extra that you don't get through Medicare, maybe dental or vision coverage, maybe a gym membership. And if you're in your 60s and you're first doing it and you're healthy, maybe it's okay. But the problem is we find the complaints when people get denied care they need and then have to fight a system and get it late. Or recently we had a couple in their 80s were on when they're in their 60s. They just hit their 80s. They now need care. And they can't get it from the Medicare Advantage program, but it's not easy. You can't just go back to Medicare either because they've made that system difficult and people really get caught. So we just want people to know everything up front, get information about Medicare versus Medicare Advantage, what's best for you. In some cases, Medicare Advantage may be the best thing for you, but often it's not going to be. We just don't want people to get ripped off because there was a commercial with William Shatner.
Oh my God. Right? Yeah, you watch daytime television, it's every other commercial.
Yeah. And that's the sort of thing. So there's issues like that. And that is just one, I guess, I'm particularly obsessed on. But, you know, also we have this DOGE commission to save money in government.
Well, Tony Weed's in it.
I'll tell you right off the bat. I mean, you look at what we waste on the Pentagon and we spend billions and billions of dollars on amphibious vehicles that only sink. Right. The most recent class of the aircraft carrier, the Ford class, the most recent one.
Yes.
When you flush the toilets, they have a problem, a design problem. If there's a clog, you have to pour $400,000 of acids down the drain, literally flushing money down the drain in order to make them work.
Perfect.
Like, there are real life examples, and they have failed, I think, 7 or maybe 8 audits now. They've never passed an audit, but we require that of everyone else. Let's just, you know, there's a lot to expose. That's why I have a podcast to do that now. I have your program.
Yes,
to come on.
We're
got other programs, but we're going to do that work.
We're gonna pump the heck out of your podcast. Thank you so very much. We'll see you hopefully soon in the future, and I'm sure glad you're on our side here, Congressman Mark Pocan. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mark. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This song. Oh my goodness, I got a Boston hat on right now. Big Red Sox fan here, me and my son. Oh man, you know, I have to tell you something. I'm still new at this, and so I appreciate everybody you're giving me a little bit of leeway here, because you get a little word salad here as we're getting towards the break, and we're up against the clock and all that. But I have to say thank you so much to Congressman Mark Pocan. His staff originally said, we're going to give you 20 minutes, and they ended up staying for the whole show. So I cannot thank them enough. And like I said, I'm so glad he's on our side. Just a good, good person. So it sounds like a podcast with liberty and justice for some. Keep an eye on our socials and our pages and everything like that. Like our pages, like the Civic Media page, because you'll be stay up to date with all of our shows. And if you like what we got here, and hope you do. But we'll show his episodes and all of that, and hopefully have him back many, many times. And I want to switch gears. I learned a lesson this week, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit. So I own a business, and we use contractors. And contractors for, like, we'll have people that do dents or rips in the seat. I own a car business, and details and all that. And one of the contractors that we used was very tied closely to the previous owner of my business. And the previous owner was just, like, he's just not a super great person. And I bought this business, not this past August, but a year past. And I've been in the car business for a long time before. And I've had to spend the better part of a year and 5 months rehabilitating the reputation that we have. Because the previous owner just did not have a good one. And we had a contractor, I'm going to call him Brent. We'll say his name is Brent. And he was really tied in with the previous owner. And about, a year ago, he saw a post that I made about Donald Trump being a terrible person, because he is. And he took exception to it. And not only did he take exception to that post that I did, he lost his ever-loving mind. And he said some insane things and accused me of not knowing what the hell I was doing, and told me I was going to fail within a year and the previous owner was going to take over, and just all this crazy stuff. Because he's, dyed-in-the-wool Trumper, and that's kind of on brand there. But the worst part about it is that he said, he's this, like, little short guy with the ego the size of Texas, and he said that, me and my boys, we run the car scene here in Green Bay. Like, number one, I guess, congrats, And he said, we'll put you out of business, all that. And it's like, well, if you and your buddies think you're like Al Capone or John Dillinger running the car business here in Northeast Wisconsin, and you're some hotshot or whatever, like, okay, I guess. But I'm not a vindictive, ego-driven person who has to shove success in someone else's face. I've never been that person. I've never been that person. I know how quickly you can go from doing well to not knowing how the hell you're going to make it. And that can happen fast. And everything I do in my life, from, like, business, politics, everything I do is for my family. And I'm not going to brag. I'm not going to talk smack. None of it. I don't know if that's like my Catholic guilt getting the best of me or whatever it is. But I don't do that. I've always tried to, you know, prove it, not talk about it, and prove it with results. Don't show me, talk. Don't talk to me, show me, you know. Well, last year, the relationship kind of blew up between myself and our Brent, all because he was triggered by that post that I put on Trump being a bad person. I think the term that they use is snowflake. I don't know. Anyway, well, that night when it was kind of all blowing up, I sent out, I told him, you know, hey, I'll message you in a year. When he said, oh, you're going to be out of business also. I'll message you in a year. Well, this week on Tuesday, it was a year. And so this was the day I put the reminder in my phone, send Brent a message. Tell him you're still here, all this kind of stuff. But again, I'm not that person. I'm not that person. I thought about it. And you know what? I sent a message. I sent him the message. I said, you know, hey. And it wasn't bad. The text read, and I'll read it to you. I said, hey, Brent, a year ago, I said I'd message you in a year after you told me I'd be out of business and that your boys run the scene in Green Bay and you'll be back in a year and the previous owner will take the store over. But hey, it looks like we're still here. And then I said, I hope you're well. I hope 2024 was good to you. And my man, I appreciate and thank you for the extra motivation. And we'll talk next year. That was it. And, you know, the interaction went, I guess, as well as you would expect. You know, I needlessly started a fire with someone that I didn't need to do. And he came back, though, with the usual low IQ retorts. That was like he took a picture of me and VP Harris, along with more low IQ talking points. And we just changed a few messages. But the last one that I sent to him was, you know, again, I truly wish you nothing but the best. Thanks for the motivation. And I thought that message was going to make me feel better. I thought that it was I would feel a little vindicated. I thought it would go better than what it did. And it didn't. And I learned something that day. And it was something I already knew. My dad told me this when I was young. You know, the only way that bad people win is if you let their stupidity hurt you. Don't fall for it. Don't engage. My dad taught me that. I knew it, but I learned it all over again this past week. And I think that if you're going to prove a point, and as long as you're not hurting someone, the best way to do it is just by living your life the best way you possibly can. You know, people will come and go. People will say stupid things. People will hurt you. But the only way those people will win is if you let their stupidity hurt you. And don't fall for that. We are better than that. I learned that again this week. And I wanted to share that because over these next couple of years, boy, we're gonna need that. A lot of that every week. Every day. And so I wanted to let you know, don't do what I did. I knew that lesson, but I still let my own, you know, I don't know, ego, I guess, get the best of me. Darn it. But I'm not going to do that again. And you know what? I'm going to talk to you next week. This was a fun one. Thank you to Mark Pocan, Congressman. Thank you to Conrad, the producer. And thank you to Civic Media for letting me say all these weird things on the radio. So thank you so much. We'll see you next week here on The Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. Have a great one.
A new choice. Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the author of Building the Bucks, Jordan Tresky, and talk entertainment with Capital Times reporter Victoria Davis. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with P. Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart and brain.
Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keys. First responders are watching closely as winds are set to pick up in drought zones as those wildfires continue roaring through L.A. More than 150,000 people are under evacuation orders, and the current death toll of 11 is expected to rise. CBS News correspondent Maurice Dubois is in Palisades.
The health department has issued a local health emergency saying the wind and smoke has severely degraded the air quality. It's been 5 days here since two of the largest of these fires started, and they're both less than 10% contained.
CBS's Tom Hansen has more from those who are heeding warnings to get out now.
At night, the hills above West Los Angeles still look like a hellscape. The winds driving the Palisade fire lulled enough for firefighters to use water-dropping helicopters. By day, the devastation is clear.